God wants you prosperous. He wants you prosperous, and the way that we become prosperous is through our soul. Right? Third John, says, "Beloved, I pray that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." Or in accordance to how your soul prospers. Prosperity in the natural realm only happens according to the prosperity of your soul. And we talked about how we are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. If you're going to be here on earth, you need a meat suit. You need an earth suit. This is your body. But we have something that is eternal that lives in us, and that's our spirit. And our spirit is recreated. And when it was recreated in the very image of Christ. It says, "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. As he is, so are we in this world." How are we just like him in this world? In our spirits. Our spirits have been recreated. When you go to heaven, your spirit will not change. It is eternally baptized, submerged into, welded, grafted into Jesus Christ. But we have a soul. Our soul is also eternal. That's where we get our personality. That's where our mind, our will, and emotions. That's how our spirit and soul connects us to this earth through our body. And to the degree that your soul is prospering is to the degree that the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus will manifest in our lives. You can have areas of your life that aren't manifesting the image, not reflecting the image of Christ in you, and still go to heaven. This message isn't about going to heaven. This message is about here on earth. It's about manifesting, reflecting the image of Christ in us, the hope of glory. You can have areas of your life that aren't reflecting the image of Christ in you, and God still loves you. Because the love for God that has been shed abroad in our hearts is not according to our outward actions, but the action of Jesus Christ that has brought us into the family of God through the new creation and being born again in Christ Jesus. The whole language, as we showed last week, of the new covenant, of the kingdom of God that we live in, is one of growth. It's one of increase. It's one of prosperity. God is life. God is light. God has no death in him. If anything that's dead goes into God, guess what happens to it? It comes alive. Do you understand that? Death did not enter into the world until sin entered the world. And sin brought darkness. Sin brought sickness, disease, poverty. Sin brought depression and sadness. The Apostle John said that above all else, he desires that the church would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. And the funny thing about our soul is that it magnifies things in our life. Our soul magnifies the things of life. The word magnify, I don't know, it's just interesting to look at these definitions and where we get these words from. This is quite interesting. The word magnify, it means to make something larger, to increase, or to exaggerate the importance or effect of. The original late Middle English form of this word, where we get this idea of magnifying, actually meant in the sense to show honor to God, to make greater. And this dates back to the mid-17th century. Thus, the oldest definitions means to extol, to glorify, praise the Lord, and to magnify Him. The word magnify, when it was first used, was used to describe us extolling and glorifying and making God big in our lives. You know, David gave a wonderful example of what it looks like when a soul magnifies the Lord. In Psalms 103, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits." Do we forget the benefits of the Lord? Do we know what the benefits of the Lord? Well, here are some. "Who forgives all your iniquities." Is that something your soul needs to hear this morning? That anything that you have done that you feel shame or condemnation about, that God forgives all your iniquities. And if God has chosen to forgive your iniquities, what right do you have to not forgive yourself of those iniquities? He says, don't forget all of His benefits. "Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases." You know, I've used this example a lot, but it's funny. But every time I read the word "all," you know, I always go back to this thought. At one time, I had four kids living in my house. One's married and moved out now. But I'd go to the kitchen cabinet. Maybe there's a box of Cheez-Its in there or something like that. And I go in there, I reach it, and I think, well, there ain't much in there. I open it up, and it's all gone. I have kids that will eat an entire box of something, close it back up, and put it back in the cabinet. I do not understand that whatsoever. But when I look in it, it is all gone. I'm talking about the bag tipped up, all the crumbs out, all. Think about this. This is what it says when God says, "Who heals all your diseases." Nothing is left out. Are we remembering His benefits? "Who redeems your life from destruction." You know, there can be some things that happen in life. Maybe you lose a job. Maybe there's relational things that are happening. Maybe your future right now isn't looking bright. It looks like destruction is on the left hand and the right hand. It says that He redeems us. He redeems your life from destruction. These are the benefits of the Lord. What is your soul magnifying? "Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." Is that how you picture God? What does your soul magnify about the true nature of God? Do you see a God that crowns us with tender mercies and loving kindness? Or do we see a God that's waiting for us to step out of line and ready to smack us with the old bolt of lightning? What does your soul magnify? "Who satisfies your mouth with good things." You know how many times I've heard Christians say, "Well, the Lord done this to me so that He'd teach me a lesson, or that I'd learn from it." It says here that a prosperous soul says and magnifies God that He satisfies our mouth with good things. Good things. "So that your youth is renewed like the eagles." You know, Billy Joel sings a song, "Only the good die young." And he's absolutely right. When I decide to go home with the Lord, I'm going to look real young. Right? He renews our youth like the eagles. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what does your soul magnify? You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Your soul makes up your mind, will, and emotions. Your emotions you can allow your emotions to magnify things in your life. You can allow your mind. There's lots of things coming over social media, the news, all the things that are happening in this world. You can allow your mind to magnify things. So what is your soul magnifying? What is your soul making larger? What is it increasing the importance of? What does it extol, glorify, and declare as Lord? This is an important question to ask yourself when it comes to walking in the life of Christ, a victorious life. If our focus is on the wrong thing, it can block the flow of the Spirit. Your spirit, your born-again spirit, where the power of God resides. Having our mind, will, and emotions completely focused on and magnifying contrary things, thoughts that are trying to exalt themselves above the truth that is in Christ Jesus. It stops the flow that God wants coming into your life. It stops prosperity. Receiving from Jesus comes from your born-again spirit that is within Him. Your spirit is in Him. His spirit's within you. How does that work? I don't know. We describe it this way. Some people think that, you know, being filled with the Spirit is taking a glass and dumping water into it and taking it right up to the brim. And I'm filled with Spirit. Well, the problem is that glass is still in control. It's in control of that water. Well, then some people say, well, being filled with the Spirit is filling up that glass until it just is overflowing. Again, that glass is still in control. Being filled with the Spirit of God, being filled and walking in the Spirit of God is like taking that glass and throwing it into the ocean. The glass is in the ocean. The ocean is in the glass. You can't tell the difference. And that ocean does whatever it wants with that glass. We receive everything from God from our born-again spirits. You have to understand this. It's not trying to reach up to heaven to obtain. Trying to bring Christ down. It is already in you. You've already got it in Christ Jesus. It is in you. You are eternal. You've been born again. You have been born not with a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible one. The Word of Christ. The kingdom of God and its resources are in you now. You receive from God from the inside out, not vice versa. See, everybody's thinking that their blessing is going to be coming from the outside in. That your blessing is somewhere out there. No, it's from the inside out. Smith Wigglesworth says that he said that he was 1,000 times bigger on the inside than he is on the outside. In your spirit, you have everything you need. Unfortunately, if we are honest, many times the door to our soul is shut, blocking the flow of life from our spirits. How do we shut the door to our soul? Through our focus, by what we are magnifying. We put our focus on the wrong place. We are magnifying, increasing, making larger, glorifying, extolling, magnifying as Lord things that we should not. These things that we wrongly magnify can be our circumstances, it can be others, it can be feelings, it can be the world, it can be ourselves, it can be our lack, it can be the wisdom of this present world. The list can go on and on with everything that we magnify over Jesus. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, again, Lester Summerall went to visit Smith Wigglesworth, and he came over to visit him one morning. And he knocked on the door, and he answered the door, and he greeted him, and he asked if he could come in. And Smith says, "Yes, you can come in, but that has to stay out." And under his arm, he had the newspaper. See, there are things that we magnify over the truth that is in Christ Jesus. And Christians can get so caught up, just like the world, in things that we are magnifying over the knowledge that we have in Christ Jesus. And we have to be very careful at the things that we allow to magnify in our lives. We can allow the economy and doom and gloom, false prophets. That's what they are. False prophets speaking doom and gloom. And you can start magnifying that in your soul, and it will stop the blessing of God from happening in your life. You can be magnifying what's happening with COVID and all of these different things. You can magnify these things to the place where it magnifies over the truth of who we are in Christ Jesus. It can allow fear, anxiety, all of these things. Let's be honest. We're in church. We should be honest. You get a sniffle. A couple years ago, you didn't think one thing about it. You wiped your nose and went on with your day. But now you just get a little sniffle. And because we've magnified it, we're thinking, "I'm going to die." It's true. Is COVID real? Yes, COVID's real. But the truth in Jesus Christ is a greater reality and a greater truth. What are we magnifying in our life? What are we magnifying as Lord of our life? Jesus stated the obvious when he said in John 16, that in this world, you will have tribulation. We live in a fallen world. We live with fallen people. We live with other Christians. Some of them are the worst. Right? But he says that you're going to have tribulation in this world. But then he gave us something to magnify. He gave us something to magnify. He said, "But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." We can get so bogged down in magnifying the tribulation that's in the world instead of being of good cheer, magnifying the world overcomer, Christ Jesus, and the one that lives in us, making us world overcomers. There is a door between our souls and our spirit that we must learn to keep open. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." See, many times this scripture is used out of context, that the Lord is trying to knock on the heart of an unbeliever and asking to come in to an unbeliever. And that's, I have no problem with someone using it in that context. But it's out of context in which John, Holy Spirit, in the book of Revelation, was revealing
to the church.
See, John was writing to the church of Laodicea. He was writing to believers. Jesus was speaking to born-again Christians. Those that have been made, already been made one spirit with him, that have been sealed by Holy Spirit. How is it that Jesus can be in the outside, looking in, knocking on the door, trying to get into the life of a Christian? Because he's referring to the doors of our souls. Jesus lives in your spirit. He wants to get in to your soul. This is talking about Christians that have closed some doors off to Jesus. Doors in their soul. It is possible to be born again and still have a compartmentalized life. Christians do this all the time. That God has this little part of my life and this little part of my life and this little part of my life. But this part of my life is mine. And it's that part of your life that you're not prospering in. It is possible to compartmentalize your life. And when we compartmentalize our life, any compartmentalization that we do that is not including the reality of Christ in us, the hope of glory, will stop the flow of the Spirit of God, the abundant life of God, the resurrection life of God, the prosperity of God from flowing into those areas of our life. It will block the blessing of God. You can be a believer who's on their way to heaven and yet have closets in your lives that do not reflect the image of Jesus that is already in you. See, this is a faith. The Christian life is a faith. You are not trying to become like Jesus. You have been born again. You've been made a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You have been made like Jesus in your spirit. So we're not trying to be like Jesus. We're trying to walk in the Spirit and not gratify the lusts of the flesh. Not allow the flesh, the world, to dictate our identity and who we are, to dictate our prosperity, to dictate our joy, to dictate how we live in this world. Too often a life lived in a fallen world, that it can shut doors in your soul to God, in the Spirit of God. It can be wounds that were done to you by the hands of others, things that are too painful to confront and deal with. Sometimes it's sin, it's a failure, it's mistakes or bad decisions that is too shameful. And we don't want to face it. And we close the doors of our soul to Jesus. Other times it's religion or just plain human pride that slams the doors of our soul shut. But no matter the reason, Jesus wants access to every area of your soul. Why? So he can come in and condemn us and highlight everywhere and everything that we've done to screw up? No. So that he can heal. So he can heal it, then he can align it with your spirit, which is one spirit with his spirit. So a life of prosperity and healing can flow into every area of your life. This is what God wants to do. There are times when everything in life seems to be going wrong. But like David, we can strengthen ourselves in the Lord. Do you remember that? David had every single person. He had Saul, the king of Israel, chasing him, wanting to kill him. He had his
the Philistines that wanted to kill him. And now he had his closest brothers. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. But he strengthened himself in the Lord. In Psalms 24:7, it says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, and lift up you our everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." When we lift up our heads from the circumstances of this world and open our souls to the Spirit, it allows the King of glory to come in. He stands at the door and knocks. When you are focused on the doctor's report or your financial report or what others are saying about you or even what you think about yourself, that's the worst. Your head is not lifted up. And your gates are shut. Shut to the wisdom of Christ. Shut to resurrection life. The power of the Spirit that is available to you in your spirit. We need to lift up our heads from the evil reports and the lies of the enemy and the chaos that is in the world and magnify Jesus and focus on His Word. Open up your everlasting doors and allow the King of glory to come in. Come in where? Come into your soul. He will come in into every area of our soul and life that has been blocked because of focusing and magnifying the wrong things. Here is a statement that might, it's going to sound blunt. And I say it in love. One of the primary hindrances of people receiving from the Lord is they know more about their problem, be it sickness, be it disease, be it a financial situation, marriage issues. They know more about what's the problem. They can tell you everything about the problem. They're magnifying the problem. They know more about the problem than they know about the remedy. God's word and His finished work accomplished through Jesus Christ. Do you understand this? Whenever you come across somebody and they're coming to you with tribulation that's happening in their life, what are they magnifying to you? The problem. And what as believers do we have to do? We have to get their focus off the problem and onto the remedy. We need to magnify Jesus. We got to magnify the truth that's in God's Word. So, that will help us. If you find your mind, if you find your thoughts, if you find your emotions going to a thing of you're constantly in anxiety, you're constantly thinking about the problem, you're constantly thinking about the issues and the tribulations in life, you're constantly thinking about what so-and-so did to you. If you're constantly thinking about your finances, if you're constantly thinking about the situation that's going on in the world, we got Christians that are carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. You're not God. That's not your job. So when all these things are just coming into your soul, it's so wonderful to know that you can say, wait, I'm magnifying the wrong thing. I'm focused on the wrong thing. Let me turn. Let me magnify. Let me lift up my head and open up my gates so the King of glory can come in. If we can magnify, get our focus changed, the problem from the problem to the Savior, the gates and doors of our souls will open up and God's supernatural power will come in. Here's another scripture. Isaiah 26, verse 2. It says, open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We enter into gates of our inheritances in Christ Jesus when our minds are fixed on the Lord. When we trust in the Lord, we are magnifying him, and our trust in him produces perfect peace. The measure of your peace, the degree to which you is to the degree which you are trusting God. If you have no peace, you're not trusting God. You're magnifying the wrong things. Your soul is focused on the wrong things. I mean, this is good news. This is good news. It's good news to know when you're not trusting God. Right? It is. It's good news to know when you're not trusting God. Why? So you can trust God. The truth will set you free from the limitations that hinder you from receiving your full inheritance. Look at this. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, it says, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life. Wow. That sounds like that's a command. I say to you, do not worry about your life. As to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body, as to what to put on, is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? For most people, they say, no, that's what life's all about. It's food, what I where I live, what I wear, what I drive, what I... Look at the birds of the sky, and they do not sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more important than they? When's the last time you looked at the birds of the sky? See, if you are worried and concerned about your life, you need to stop and just start looking at the birds. Be a bird watcher. You know, the glory of God and God can be revealed in his creation. Jesus isn't saying this just so he has something cute to say. He's literally telling you that if you have worry, you have anxiety, you have fear in your life, go look at the birds. Are you not much more important than they? Are you? Come on, we've got a bunch of pedo people in here. Yes, you are. You are more important than birds. You are the apple of God's eye. He's got your picture in his wallet. God loves everybody, but he likes me the best. We all should say that. That should be our soul magnifying the love of God in our lives. John said it. He wrote a book. And everywhere he talked about himself, he says, and the disciple whom Jesus loved. I used to think that God loved John more than the rest of them. Then I realized that John wrote that. Are you the disciple that Jesus loved? Does he love you more than birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single day to his lifespan? And why are you worried about clothing? Notice how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor, nor do they spin thread for clothing. Yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Go look at the flowers. Go look. look at the flowers, it says that Solomon, the richest man that ever lived, wasn't clothed like the flowers. Go look at the flowers. God is a God of abundance. God is a God of it doesn't have to be totally rational. Do you know that there's flowers that bloom in the desert once every 5 years or something like that? I mean, there's certain flowers that it only blooms for a couple hours, then it's dead. It's gone. And a lot of times there's flowers up in the Rockies that they bloom for a short season and there's no one there to see them. Why would God put flowers in places that no one can see them? Because he can. Because that's who he is. When's the last time you looked at a flower? Then go to your closet and say, Lord, I want to be clothed like the flowers. Amen. Seriously, slow down. Jesus gave us this to focus on, to magnify. But if God so clothes the grass of the field which are alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat, or what are we to drink, or what are we to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles, those without God, eagerly seek all these things. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you. Change your focus. Change what you're magnifying. See, when Jesus was speaking of seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, he was speaking about more than just loving God and being a good Christian. There are lots of people that love God and are good Christians that do not have a prosperous soul. There are Christians that seem to love God with their whole hearts, but they're not prospering in all areas of their life. See, this contradiction between many believers' lives and what Jesus said shows that Jesus was talking about more than just going to church and being a devoted Christian. So what does it mean? What does it mean to seek first his kingdom? Seek first his righteousness? Well, by examining the passage we just read, we see that it is in contrast of what we are magnifying, what we are focused on, right? The Gentiles are all focused. Those without God are all focused on what they're going to eat, what they're going to wear, how they're going to dress, where they're going to live. That's what they're always focused on. That's what they're magnifying. But we see that one is magnifying on self-reliance, the other is magnifying trusting on their Heavenly Father. Focusing on what leads to anxiety, worry, and greed, or focusing on the Lord that produces confidence, peace, and trust. See, it's all about what our soul is magnifying. It's all about what our soul is focusing on. When you see God's kingdom, when you are seeking God's kingdom, you are magnifying his authority. You are magnifying his authority. But just magnifying and having a knowledge of God's authority isn't enough. We need to be seeking his authority and embracing his authority as our authority, as ourselves, for ourselves. See, when you enter the that kind of kingdom and authority, you enter into a sense of dominion where Jesus is in charge of everything. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that Jesus is in charge of everything? That you, if you allow him to have dominion over your life, that he can be in charge of everything. We might believe it, but do we live like that? See, Paul stated in Romans chapter 14 that the kingdom of God consists of righteousness, of peace, and joy. Contrast that with anxiety, worry, and greed. When we magnify the king and his kingdom, the king's domain, that's what that means, the domain of the king, all things will be added unto you effortlessly. There is coming a day when Jesus will return and his dominion will be over the entire earth. And everyone will be brought into subject to him. But today, does he have dominion over you? There are many Christians that he does not have dominion over their life. There are many churches and preachers that Jesus is not Lord and does not have dominion over their life. They are just caught up just like all the other Gentiles, filled with worry, anxiety, fear, greed, covetousness. See, in the Old Testament, there are types and shadows that illustrate perfectly that what our soul magnifies will either cause the promises of God to flow or to be stopped. In Numbers chapter 13, you remember in Numbers chapter 13, they were about to go into the promised land, and Moses sent out 12 men to spy out the land. You remember this? God had given them this land of promise, and he says that I have given it to you. Go in and take it. And 10 of the men, along with the majority of the children of Israel, believed an evil report, the Bible says. They magnified the giants and the strength of the inhabitants of the land. Two of the 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb, magnified the Lord and focused on the promise and saw themselves as being well able to possess the land. Why? What was it that caused the other 10 spies to not focus on the promise of the Lord and God's ability to give them the land? It's because of what they focused on. They focused on their circumstances. They focused on the inhabitants. They focused on what was happening in the world before them. They both seen the same thing. All 12 spies seen the exact same thing. But only two of them magnified the Lord. See, it was because of magnifying the wrong thing, focusing on the wrong thing, that they did not inherit the promised land. They did not enter in, and they lost their inheritances. So here's the question, again, we have to ask ourselves, is where is our focus? What do you focus on? What are you focusing on? Whatever you are magnifying is what you will see. Whatever you imagine, whatever you are focusing on is what you're going to see in your soul. And what you see will eventually come out of what you say. And what you say and believe is eventually what you will have. Mark 11:23. Truly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be ye taken up and thrown in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Where you are today is what you imagined yesterday. and what you're speaking. You are exactly where you said you were going to be. Now, where will you be tomorrow? So because the children of Israel believed an evil report, they did not go into the promised land, but wandered for 40 years in the wilderness until all passed away except Joshua and Caleb. Look where they ended up finding themselves because of magnifying the wrong thing. In Numbers 21, verse 4, it says, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became weary or became very discouraged on the way. So here we find God's people growing discouraged because of their wrong focus. They magnified the way, the path, the journey, instead of what God has spoken to them. They became discouraged because of the way. They allowed circumstances of the journey to distort their attitude. And as they took their eyes off God, they put it on the path they were traveling. Look at what God did just three verses earlier. In Numbers 21, verse 1. This happened three verses earlier. It says, the king of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Athrima. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them as prisoners. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to the voices of Israel, delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So just three verses earlier, God gave them an incredibly great victory over their enemies. Yet, this verse shows that their attitude had shifted. They had forgotten the miracle of God's deliverance. Why? Because they magnified the way instead of the way maker. And we can do that so often in our life. We magnify the journey more than the one that makes the way. You can allow your soul to rise or fall based on your circumstances. Isn't that true? We're up, we're down, we're up, we're down, all based on what our circumstances are in life. It could be financial obstacles in your path, perhaps a wayward child or an unbelieving spouse, attacks on your physical body, maybe it's an unstable job, or maybe you just feel like you're walking this way completely by yourself, completely alone. Listen, no matter what the condition of the way might seem to be right now, you cannot afford to make that your focus. You cannot afford to make the way your focus if your soul is going to prosper. Your focus has to be on not the way, but the way maker. Let's look at how this example of the children of Israel seems to escalate. The children of Israel got their eyes further and further off God and forgot the miracles that He had done for them and continually focused on their problems and their challenges of the journey. And it led them to a downward spiral of murmuring and complaining, rebellion, and unbelief. I know none of you guys have ever been there. They truly represented a people that had a poverty soul. As a result, the enemy was able to bring a plague of poisonous serpents on many of them died. And what was Moses' solution for the situation? To pray and refocus and magnify God. You understand what happened? They took their eyes off God when in magnifying God and His promises going into the the promised land. Then they're on their way, and God is still delivering them from their enemies, despite their disobedience to enter in. Then they continue to focus on the way and became more and more and more discouraged and became grumbling. Whose fault was it that they were even in the place that they were in? Theirs. And for a lot of us, our lives, we're there not because God put us there. It's because of the choices that we made. And we're murmuring, we're complaining, we're in unbelief. And things just seem to keep getting worse and worse and worse. And all you're focusing is on the way. You're focusing on the journey. You're focusing on on this life instead of magnifying the way maker. So Moses had a reality check, and he turned to God, and he prayed, and he magnified God. And then he heard the following words from the Lord. Remember, these vipers were coming out. People were dying. It was just like a plague, a supernatural plague upon them. And sometimes in your life, you feel like, you know, when is the locust coming? Numbers 21:7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and put him on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." God said that everyone that looked on the fiery serpent on the pole would live. What did he do? What did he do? He changed their focus. He changed their focus. The word translated "look" in this verse means to behold. They were beholding the serpent on the pole. They were beholding it and trusting the promise that if I behold this, I will live. It means to behold, to inspect, to perceive, and to consider in the Hebrew. They were considering it. All who looked, beheld, inspected, and made this serpent on the pole their focus, those that magnified it, they lived. But what does that mean to us today? What does that mean to us today? Remember, this is just a type and a shadow. This is just a type and a shadow. How about Jesus? Look at this. In John chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who that came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Just as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, the same way Jesus Christ was lifted up. Why was it a serpent? You ever think about that? Why wasn't it a lamb? Because the serpent represents the curse. The serpent represents the curse. And Jesus took on the curse of all humanity into himself. He was him who knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Just as that serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, Jesus Christ was lifted up and took the curse of this fallen world into his servant body and destroyed it once and for all. If all who looked at the type and shadow of the serpent on the pole were healed, how much more for those that set their focus on the reality of Jesus' finished work on the cross be healed today? those that magnify Jesus above all else, making his finished work their primary focus, rather than the current condition of our circumstances. When our focus changes from the condition of the way to the way maker himself, you will prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. Church, I hope you get this. The God of this world is trying to get your attention. He's trying to magnify himself. He's trying to be lifted up in your life. He's trying to allow anxiety, fear, dread, sickness, disease, lack, poverty. He's trying to put the weight of the world on your shoulders. And maybe it's time for many of us to say, start telling people, you can come in, but you got to leave that garbage out. Maybe you need to say it to your TV or your social media feed or whatever it is. If there are things that are becoming Lord in your life, that have raised themselves up above the name of Jesus, that are causing you to live in fear, is causing you not to have peace. Peace. We are to have peace. Christians are to be marked with peace in our life. It's time to change our focus. It's time to cut some things out. And this isn't a religious thing saying you need to stop watching this because it's bad. It's bad because it's affecting you. We cut it out not because of religion, because we want the abundant life of Christ to flow in us. Your soul is not going to prosper if you magnify and you focus on anything above who you are in Christ Jesus and what Jesus Christ and his finished work has accomplished on the cross. Amen? Amen. Amen. I just love those types and shadows that the Lord gives us in the Old Testament, and then he just brings it to life in full understanding in the spiritual realm through Christ Jesus. That's amazing. That's amazing. So let's just close. I'm going to pray. We're going to close. What do you think we're going to sing? We're going to sing Waymaker. And let's just magnify the Lord. Let's just focus on the Lord. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are the Waymaker. And we thank you that in the midst of a rocky road, in the midst of a struggling journey, in the midst of hardships, we can magnify you. We can magnify your promises. We can magnify your word in our life. You can make the rough ways smooth. You can bring the mountains low. You can bring the valleys high. You are the good shepherd that leads us. You are the good shepherd that loves us. You are the good shepherd that desires for your inheritance to flow into our lives, through our spirits, into our souls. And we magnify you. We worship you. And we praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.